Hello.
Hello.
My name is Alex Long.
I'm with Alex Long.
And I'm from the United States.
Yeah, I'm from the US.
And I am here with my wife. She is a doctor. And I am a teacher at a primary school. And Uganda is a very special place, especially for my wife. A little over 10 years ago, she gave her life to Christ here in this country. The year after that, she was baptized here.
You
can understand art is Uganda. I am here because when before we were going to get married, she told me the story I just told you. She said, me and Uganda are a package team. And well, she was just so beautiful. Here I am.
Yeah.
So, praise God for her beauty.
So, name
this afternoon, I want to speak on what I think is a very important passage for you,
minister.
I will try to keep my comments brief. And then maybe Emily will join me for answering your questions. So, first of all, before I have you open your Bibles, how many of you here, I just want to see, how many of you are pastors? How many of you are youth ministers but not pastors? Is there anyone here who is not a minister? They are just youth. That is okay. Yes, very good. So please turn in your Bibles if you have them. To Deuteronomy chapter 6. So in this chapter, I believe that all of us find God's greatest command to youth ministers. The verses that I'm sharing, I believe that they are a North Star of sorts. These verses are the guide by which we all judge what we do. So in youth ministry, whether you are doing programs or working one-on-one with children, whatever you are doing, these verses should impact
you.
So please read with me as I read two sections. And the first section will begin in verse 4.
Deuteronomy 6:4.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I have command that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I'm going to jump ahead to verse 20. Let me get this 20 to
25.
When your son asks you, then time should come, what is the meaning of the natural and the fatty and the rule that the Lord of God has commanded? Then he shall say to your son, be momentarily slave and eager, and the Lord brought him out of Egypt to a mighty man. And the Lord shall signs and wonders, rings and grievous against Egypt and its sparrow and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in and give us the land and he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this year. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to see all his commanded for the Lord our God to see him as an empress.
The Hanawa, Mamukul Saram, the Yogan of Pizza, Nadia, the Yalama Yapa, maybe something come about, even something come about the time of the Hanawa. I'm a Tikum Dalian chief. Dory about Tampa, one law, why do I do? Come back to the Paha or the police. Become an amateur misdealing along with your money. Ramana Narago, Narago of Pedro, or what is the name of the living in?
Many of us here, when we grew up, or when we became Christian, there was one verse that probably most of us learned first. I don't know if it is the same in Uganda, but in the United States, if you become Christian, the first verse that every child learns is John
3:16.
It is the core of the gospel. In the Old Testament, in ancient Israel, this was the verse that everyone learned first. So as Christians, although Christ has come and given us a new covenant, we do not set aside the Old Testament. We do not ignore it. Some of the Old Testament has been fulfilled to Jesus. The parts that talk about sacrifices or the temple, the tabernacle, Christ has done that for us already.
But much of the Old Testament is still for us. The morality in the Old Testament. The morality and the spiritual direction is still for us.
No,
it still guides us. Even as
it
says that of the New Testament is Jesus cloud, the Old Testament. He does not change. So they also recognize the verses that I just read coming out with Jesus. Some of the Pharisees need to test Jesus. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment from God? And Jesus told them, first you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second he said, love it, you must love your neighbor as yourself. Both of these commandments that Jesus says that apply to us Christian are from the Old Testament. The second, love your neighbor as yourself, that is from the Leviticus. But in greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus is quoting our passage, he goes on to say this. And so just as the faithful in Israel would follow God, just as they were to follow this commandment. So too, all of us who have been grafted into Israel,
so now
the Church of Jesus, we too are to be faithful to this moral guidance from God.
You know,
you can read today, hear, O body in Christ. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So, notice how in this verse, the most important is first, it calls us to believe in the Lord. Believe that the Lord is one is the greatest
commandment.
But listen to how Moses tells us what to believe. What do we believe? He said, act the unbelief with all your heart and mind and might. How to know if he responds? He said in verse 7, he shall kiss you the hands, kill your children. Those who believe the greatest commandments. The greatest way they can live out what they
believe
is to teach it diligently to their children. There are many in the church today. Many Christians and unfortunately view children and youth ministry. They think it is second rate. It's inferior. It's not important. How many of you have felt or been told this in your church? Now, this is true. I mean, you've been told that youth ministry is something lesser. I
I don't know if I've been told this, but I certainly felt this from being in my
church.
Well, let me tell you here today. Moses did not believe
her.
Moses did not believe that youth ministry was something less for
him.
The God whose Holy Spirit spoke through Moses did not believe the children's ministry was
better.
Jesus did not have flesh. He did not believe that children's ministry was less important.
Yes,
this verse in Deuteronomy and many others in the Bible, they show us that God does not have two churches. God has not placed children in some other category apart from the North. In fact, God says that those who follow him with their whole hearts will focus on his
children.
God says that these people will be defined by pouring into the deep in their community. Now, before I move on, let's make sure we don't misunderstand. God also doesn't put adults as the Lord. Those who minister and evangelize to the world around, right, that God doesn't think of it as secondary
either.
Evangelism is necessary. It's what Jesus calls his disciples
for.
But God equally cares. He equally considers his church those who are ministering to those outside and those who are ministering inside. Those God grows his church by bringing others outside the church, but he has also called us to be peaceful. Some of that. And God shows no favor then. God shows no favor.
That's also what I'm
saying. And for those who are called to minister to those already inside our first body, the people who need God's word most are our children. This means that all of you here today, you are not second great ministers. You are not an inferior minister. You are not less important because the people you are giving the word God to are children. You. I am so sorry if there are people in your church who have told you this. I am so sorry if there are people who have treated you as less important because you minister to you. But I say this respectfully and humbly as I can. The people who treat you or tell you this wrong, they are wrong. I would then teach everything other one of. So we again reverence and respect. We must honor those who maybe have 1 hour than us in the church. But as Jesus said about the Pharisees, do as they say, but don't act like they do.
The way is a kind of
When it comes to this, youth ministry. Respect your elders. Follow them faithfully. But believe in your heart what God's word says about you. That you are doing just as important work as them. This is the first thing that I believe this passage tells us about youth ministry. That God loves youth ministry and you ask those who know youth ministry as just as important to the health of the body of the church. God has no second tier ministries. He blesses all poor people to minister to those he has called. But this brings me to the second thing that I think this passage teaches. The other thing that we must understand from this passage about God's commands to us as youth ministry. But to learn the second thing, we must look at the context of this passage. So, we are in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of Moses. So we're at a very different moment in his life. The people at the end of Moses' life, they have experienced God's big salvation. The story is beginning in Exodus, tells us about rescuing his people out of Egypt. He does so with signs and miracles. Those first, those first children of Israel, the first people coming out of Exodus. They saw the God of the universe destroy the greatest nation on earth. They saw the blades destroying it. They received the riches of the Egyptian people. They saw God provide water and quail and manna to eat in the wilderness. They saw a presence of God like a fire thundering on the mountain of God. And the people that Moses is preaching to, Genesis chapter 6. These people are not those Israelites who came out. The people who came out of Egypt were the first generation. The people who saw God's miraculous rescue were the first generation. But that first generation is no more. God brought the people and showed them his amazing power. And how the exertion and response. That there was not the worship. No, they responded with rebellion. They responded by rebelling against God and God's true leader, Moses. They complained. They grumbled. They demanded all purpose.
And they had
instead of you know, uncomfortable in the wilderness, they wanted to return to slavery. In short, they did not trust God's leadership. They tried to take power and authority on their own terms, not God's. And because of their rebellion, God healed all this first generation in the
world.
For 40 years, God had his people wander just outside of his promised land because they did not follow his
faithful.
All those who witnessed God's amazing supernatural power died, except for you. Does anyone know the two whom we did not die in the wilderness? You know this story? Yes, I heard it. Joshua and Caleb. Of the tens of thousands of Israelites who saw God's power, only two made the promise. Now, at the Exodus, these two men, they were young. They were warriors. They were intelligent leaders. And they were also faithful. And they were not even primarily faithful to Moses. They were faithful to God. When Caleb and Joshua looked for role models in their community, they had two options. They could model their lives after the corrupt leaders. The leaders of the tribes who rebelled against Moses. They could choose to model their lives off of the leaders who wanted to live life in their own strength, in their own authority. The people who wanted to kill and get rid of Moses and set themselves up as dictators over Israel. That was one option. Their other option was Moses himself. And while Moses did many things, he worked many miracles through God's power. The one thing the Bible tells us about Moses' personality, the Bible says that he was the deepest man on earth. He had more power than anyone else in Israel. And yet, he was the most humble. And so these are the options that Caleb and Joseph had, or Caleb and Joshua had. So if you remember the story from the Bible, when they reached the promised land, God sends 12 men to scout out the promised land. And when the 12 men come back, they all say the land is very good. However, there were 10 who were unfaithful. Although the land was very good, They saw the Canaanites in the land were very powerful. And those 12, instead of trusting God, they instead yielded to the oppression of the Canaanite kings. They were afraid. They saw the power of the Canaanite kings, and they thought that they were more powerful than God. So they did what all the other pagan Canaanite people did. They decided to yield power and authority to the Canaanite king, that the Israelites did not go in. But the other two scouts, Caleb and Joshua, they also saw the Canaanite kings. They also saw that the kings had all power. They also saw that the other kings had armies and ruled with fear. And only Caleb and Joshua said, "God's more high." We will choose to trust in God. We will choose to follow after Moses, the most humble man. And so because of this, all the other Israelites, they died in the wilderness. But God kept and raised up Caleb and Joshua. Not to rule over Israel with iron fists. God did not call them to rule like the corrupt leaders of Israel or of King. But God raised them up to rule as Moses had ruled. Moses showed them how to rule with humility. To rule with a noble and generous man. I would rule by respecting all of the ministers and leaders in Israel. And it's by Caleb and Joshua's leadership that the second generation of Israel after the Exodus enters God's promised land. Now Israel has far more inside than I know. I could continue the story of the Old Testament. I could talk about how what it looks like to fail in following the commandments of Deuteronomy. I can show you what it looks like when people, leaders, fail to diligently teach their children to love God's men. I can talk about Gideon, who can still live faithfully to God. But he did not diligently teach his own children. And with his children being leaders in Israel, they led Israel into idolatry. I can tell you about Jephthah, who was not diligent in following God. His leaders were not diligent to teach him. And therefore, when he became a leader in Israel, he ended up sacrificing his own daughter. Because he did not know God's commands. I can preach a whole sermon on Samson. Although he was placing leadership over Israel. His entire life was defined by sin. He's remembered for being
called.
And sense and love to exert his strength upon over other people. He loved to force his rule and his ways on other people. Usually it was by
death.
And because Samson did not diligently love the Lord, it teach his children to diligently love the Lord. Israel and all of Israel fell into great sin and oppression. So today, I want to encourage all of you as youth ministers that you are doing important work in God's church. Because the children whom you are raising up will be the next generation's leader. So, you have a choice. Are you going to raise children to be corrupt and rule in their own strength? To teach God's word and yet live as if they are corrupt dictators over your half people. Or will you humbly teach them to love God's commands? To follow God in his ability. With an open hand towards all. Viewing God's church as a single body, no matter what the age. So this is my call to you. Then this is my takeaway for you to see. One, in order to raise up the next generation, you all must love the Lord your God with all your heart. And second, you must lead with humility. You must be a role model, showing the next generation what humble, Christ-like leadership looks like. I pray that I have blessed you with these words from God's word. Thank you all for listening. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for showing up this place tonight. We thank your Holy Spirit for working in all of our hearts. God, you have called these men and women in this room to a beloved ministry. You have called these men and women to raise up the next generation in your church. So Lord, work in their hearts today and every day after. Lord, guide these men and women to love you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, teach them how to live as role models for the children that they are teaching. Lord, remove all opposition and lies that they may have been told about the ministers to you. Instead, surround them with a faithful community of Christians. who have the same vision for the next generation that they have. Who can raise them up. Who can encourage them. And who ultimately can pray for them for their ministry to be fruitful. Bless them through your Holy Spirit. I pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.